From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Yo, John, what's good? It's Roz and Mocha.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You know, trying to fix your life. What's going on?
So I'm super burnt out. I'm tired. Yeah, they expect me to keep working and grinding.
Oh, damn. You wrote this. Hey, Roz and Mocha, Fix My Life. I work for a startup company, and I feel like they are violating all sorts of labor laws. I am absolutely so burnt out because the CEO and the COO expect me to work 24/7 since they have no life. It's affecting my personal life and love life. The problem is that I work in the sports industry, which is my dream, but now I am facing the dilemma of whether to look for another job or stick it out with this company. Side note, you say, this company does have really good potential to grow, however, managed by two young people, so they don't understand work culture.
Without saying the name of the company, can you kind of describe what it is that you do?
Honestly,
or will I
can't.
Give it away? You can't.
They'll
okay.
give it away.
No,
okay.
But like, are you doing computer stuff? Are you doing financial stuff? Are you...
Is it like app-based, like tech stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like hard to define exactly what I do. It's like I have my hands on everything in the company.
So I guess, okay, let's rephrase this. When they say they want you to work 24/7, right? What is it that you're expected to do 24/7? Like make decisions, sit at a computer, talk to clients, lift things?
Deliver
like
products?
Yeah, what do they want you to do 24/7?
Oh, it's not physical labor. It's more like, behind a computer, I'm managing. I'm like doing whatever they're asking me to do. Like it's like admin work or like managing the side of the business.
Okay. And
how big is the company?
Uh-huh.
How many people work there?
Not above 50. That's for sure.
Okay.
And how long have you been there?
A bit over a year or two.
Your work day has been this way since the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And are you compensated fairly, do you feel?
No, honestly, no. And I have a buddy that works with me, too, and he's definitely not either. And we get crucified if we want, like, time off or, like, if we just take a weekend off not answering any replies, we get crucified for it.
And what about your coworkers? Are you, like, kind of in the same boat? Is everyone feeling the same brunt of what you're describing to us, or is it different for different employees?
I would say like 95% sure. Yeah, everyone's got eye bags and like the morale's pretty down.
So a company that's 50 people, do they have any sort of HR individual or any sort of rep or no?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, really? Cool. Okay, oh. Okay. And you obviously have no stake in the company.
No.
And is that a possibility or no?
I think it could be, but at the same time, I've thought about it and I'm like, why would I want a stake in this company if I'm getting burnt to the ground?
Well, because then you win, right? Like, you know, if you believe in the company and they give you stake in the company, then you're working for more than a paycheck. What happens if they write you something at, you know, 8:30 at night and you don't get back to them?
Depends what it is, right? Like, honestly, over the long weekend, like I got a text like past 12 a.m. and the boss is like, get it done by this time. Hey, man, I could be sleeping, you know, like what if I wake up and you give me an hour left to do this? Like, it's impossible. Okay. Luckily, I did wake up early enough.
Was it for the next day, like part of the long weekend? Was it for...
Yeah.
The following day.
Okay. Okay. So
well, that's unreasonable.
So right? there's no defined hours in what you do, or is there, and they just expect you to ignore that?
No, there's no defined hours. I go in almost every day at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
I leave at 5. I come back home at like a lot later because of the commute, but they still expect us to do work.
Has anybody had a conversation with them going, you know, I like this job, we all sort of believe in you guys and believe in this company. But if you actually want this company to succeed, we have to figure out a way that you're not asking the people to help build your dream need to work 24 hours, 7 days a week. Because that's it's not going
to
happen.
If I were to have that conversation, one, they'll look down on me and be like, yeah, this guy's not a grinder. This guy, what's happening with him? Why is he not working hard anymore?
How old are you?
Mid-20s.
Mid-20s, okay.
So you don't want to come off as like being lazy, right?
No, because I did build a really good reputation within the company. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think it's time for them to they need to fix up because they're going to lose good people. And I can tell, I know this without saying it humbly, that if I and my friend were to leave, they'd be screwed.
Okay, so do they know that?
They do, but they just believe that we see their vision.
Okay, so if they know that they're screwed if you leave, right? You have incredible negotiation power.
Oh, yes.
Right? So why not use your position to fix the problems? Whether that is you would work that for a whole lot more money or you need to stop working the way you do, right? And that happens when you can come at it from a place of they know how devastating it would be if you left. Okay. And if you're worried that they're not going to respect you because you're going to go in and say you're being burnt out, then don't talk to them that way. Okay. Go in and frame it in a way that they understand, which is they're grinders and they know what they respect in somebody. And if that is not weakness, but power, then use the power.
Right.
Does that make sense, John?
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
Don't go in there like you're burnt out. Go in there like the company's going to fold if you leave.
Right.
Puff out that chest, bro.
Okay. Sounds good, guys.
Yeah, that's how the conversation starts. You don't go in there being poor me, okay? They're not going to respect that.
Go in there like, yo, you need me.
Yes. They need you and they need you at your best.
Okay.
And you want to give them their best, but what they're doing right now are being dicks and they know they're being dicks. So it's time to stop being dicks and to start talking seriously.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So say that. That's great advice. Say that.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, brother. All the best to you, man. Thanks so much for reaching out.
Thank you, guys.
All right. No problem.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got
Isabel, hello. Welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show.
Good morning.
How you doing today, girl?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Why are you on FML, Isabel?
All right, so I'm a fairly new teacher, and honestly, I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed.
Oh, wow. Isabel, you wrote it says, hey, Roz and Mocha Fix My Life. I really want to connect with my students, but I'm not sure how to make that happen. Who was your favorite teacher in high school and what made them so memorable? Any advice on how to build strong relationships with students would be amazing. Thanks.
How long have you been a teacher for?
Half a year. So it's fairly new.
Okay. And when you say you're having a hard time connecting, can you give us an example what your day is like and how it is interacting with students?
Yeah, sure. So far I've taught, just half a year. So this is my second semester. Mm-hmm. And I've often found myself in courses with students that maybe were a little different than I was when I was in school. So I have a hard time connecting with them. And on top of that, I'm a new teacher. So I'm just trying to figure everything out. And then I start to think, am I really making connections with the students or am I just sort of on autopilot trying to teach?
When you say students are different, what do you mean?
Well, it's courses that I didn't take when I was in school. I always took the academic and university courses, and I find myself teaching more of the basic courses.
Is it because you're not into it?
No, I'm definitely into teaching. I'm loving it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm seeking to just do better. I want to make connections and figure out what were other people's favorite teachers like and how can I improve myself?
Is it high school where you're dealing with multiple students throughout the day or is it elementary school where it's just one class for the entire year?
High school. So I've got three classes. So about 60 to 70 students.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then when you were in teacher's college, right? How do they explain or is that a conversation that ever comes up? How to connect to a student as a brand new teacher coming in, what do they tell you?
Well, they do talk about classroom management. Uh-huh. It's a little more about dealing with behaviors with students. And they do talk about making the learning meaningful. So you're not just for example, I'm a math and science teacher. You're trying to teach math, but more in a meaningful way that is related to their lives. Mm-hmm. But they don't exactly teach you how to create a relationship with like one or two specific students. And that's just something you have to learn how to do in the real world.
Yeah, I would say for the most part, even though kids are very different, kids want to be inspired, right? They may not say it because maybe it's not popular to say something like that, but kids definitely want to be inspired. And I got a kid who's in grade 9 now, and you know, we've been having these, you know, these same conversations, and we've always had these conversations about her teachers. And I think that what makes teachers great is when they're able to don't teach a class, but you teach each individual student, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what at the end of the year, when you look back and they're like, God, like that, you know, teacher was one of my favorites. I think it's because the teacher didn't make them feel that they were a part of the class. They made them feel like an individual who happened to be in a class, mm-hmm. right? And I think that that's the big breakthroughs come there. And one of those things will come when you start to understand the different ways that the individual students like to be motivated, because you're not going to be able to motivate 25 kids the exact same way. You're going to have to motivate kids in different ways, and you're going to figure that out, and you're going to get good at it. And if you're a science teacher, I'll tell you one thing that I would love is if you just blew up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, just why not just say, hey, listen, I had a whole thing planned today, but why don't we just blow it up and then talk about why it blew up?
Yeah.
Like, that's,
would love that.
That's cool to me, right? And I like that stuff. Like, I like when teachers, especially science teachers, are a little bit mad. Uh-huh. Right? Like I think that those are have always been my favorite teachers in science, is when that you thought that they were a little bit like they were building something in their basement and we were never going to know about it.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like I think that you have to have a little bit of that in you when you're a science teacher, because that's the kind of stuff that needs to be fun. Science, mm-hmm. to try and catch a kid in science who's not into science, there's only one way to do it, and it's to make it interesting and make it fun.
The other thing, I mean, that I gravitated towards with some of the teachers that I had in high school, some of my favorites were the ones who asked me about my life, or asked me like what shows or movies I liked, asked me about, you know, like, or a group of us, like, hey, what's the hot song right now? Or mm-hmm. like, what are you guys listening to? Like, give me a recommendation of something to listen to.
Yeah.
Right? Stuff like that. Like, some of the pop culture-y kind of things I connected a little bit more with. And I don't know if that's like, I don't know, taking it too far. I don't know what the rules are these days about asking kids about their lives and stuff like that. But for me, at least growing up, those are the kind of teachers that I gravitated towards a lot more.
You're in a super fortunate position, because the older millennials, right, the early 40s millennials, or the mid 40s millennials, I guess, when they all finished teachers college and went into their first teaching jobs, they were the first generation of teachers that watched the same TV shows as their students, listened to the same music as their students, and played the same video games as their students. We never had that growing up,
yeah.
right? I could not relate on that level with any teacher I ever had. But that changed when the sort of older millennials started to become teachers. And now that's the norm in school, right? So you don't have that disconnect. There's a lot of ways that you can connect with students.
No, definitely. I like that idea of asking, you know, just even how their weekend was or what they're into. And I've tried to do a little bit of that at the beginning of the year. And there's just some that are just a little harder to reach, but inspiring them, especially with science, there's so many ways you can inspire them. Mm-hmm. That's great advice.
Yeah. Hope that inspired you, Isabel.
It did. It did. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being a part of Fix My Life today.
No, thank you. Take care, guys.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on KISS. And Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is
got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Victoria, hello, it's Roz and Mocha.
Hi.
Welcome to Fix My Life. Let everyone know why you're here.
I wanted to know how I can move on after a breakup where I felt truly cared for for the first time.
You wrote, it says, "Hey, okay. Roz and Mocha Fix My Life. I was deeply in love with a man much older than me. I even got sober for him, but he broke up with me when he realized I wasn't as charismatic while sober and was in constant pain from dermatomyositis." How do you say that?
Dermatomyositis.
Okay, we'll get to that. Something he knew about. He ended things around Christmas while I was seeing a pain specialist. He was supportive until recently, but now he's been ghosting me after he dropped off my e-bike. I've never loved anyone like this before, not even my ex-husband. I struggle to move on because it's the first time someone has truly cared for me, which is significant since I grew up in foster care and never felt this kind of love. I still cry about him almost daily. I need advice on how to get over him.
How old are you? How old is he?
I'm 30 and he's 52.
How'd you meet?
On the street.
Okay.
Like you were living on the street?
Yeah, and he drove up and introduced himself, asked if I wanted to hang out.
Okay, so what was he doing picking up people on the street?
I don't know.
Did you ever ask him?
He told me that was the first time he'd ever done that.
But why you?
I don't know. He just said that he thought I was pretty and felt bad, I guess.
Okay, so he was driving around. You're living on the street and an addict, right?
Yeah.
What were you addicted to?
Fentanyl, of all things.
Fentanyl. Oh, my God, girl.
So he picks you up and what? Takes you to his place?
No, we just drove around and talked.
Okay. And then how long were you in this relationship with him for?
Almost 2 years.
Okay. And so were you living with him?
A lot of the time, well, that's a longer story. His daughter actually ended up sending me to jail. And then I got out and went into treatment and got sober.
Why did the daughter send you to jail?
Because we got into a physical fight.
Okay, you and the daughter.
No, me and him.
You and him. So it was a physical violent relationship.
Kind of, yeah. And he told me it was because of me and the drugs, but he ended up being violent with me again after I got sober.
Okay.
So
this doesn't sound like a relationship for you, though. It doesn't sound like somebody who you say cares about you versus the way he's treating you.
Yeah, I know. I've been in a lot of bad relationships kind of similar to that. But he's, with him, it was he showed he cared in so many other ways, right?
Yeah. Did he just, pick you up because you were, a cute fentanyl addict and he thought that he could maybe take advantage of that?
I kind of feel like maybe that is the situation.
I'm going to tell you right now, that's exactly the situation. Mm. And then you got sober and you're not that anymore. You're now a real person and he didn't want that. He didn't want that.
A real person with real feelings.
He wanted the cute drug addict.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I think he got himself another one while we were together.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Mm. Yeah. This is not I know you think that you felt love and everything else, but this may be one of the most unhealthy relationships, even from the way that it started, that we've ever heard on FML. This is not good for you. He is not good for your life or your sobriety or your pain.
Or your mental health.
Or your mental health or your moving forward in life. This is an awful person.
Yeah, I'm starting to gather that.
Outside of the relationship and the hurt that you're feeling from the relationship, how do you feel? Do you feel better now that you're not addicted anymore and you're kind of getting your life back on track?
Yeah, I do. I have an apartment. I have an amazing dog that loves me to death.
Yeah.
I have good friends that care about me, here.
How long you been on fentanyl for?
I was only on it for a couple of years. I was partying with cocaine and my ex was starting to lace it with fentanyl and that's how I got addicted to that.
So how long have you been sober?
Almost 2 years now.
Okay. Oh, that's amazing.
Now, what are you on though? You're not totally clean.
I smoke weed once in a while.
But are you on any sort of substitutes?
Now I am. I wasn't for about a year and a half. I wasn't. The last half year, I did get it. I had a small relapse and went on methadone program instead. So
okay, so you're on methadone right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So relate. Don't when you're any and your counselors or the people you talk to will all tell you the same thing. When you are in the middle of a sobriety where you're still struggling, okay? It's always a struggle, right? But where you're sort of at these early stages of where you had a small relapse and you're on methadone and this kind of thing, and you're going, relationships are not the thing that you jump into or even think about at this point. They're not, yeah. They are not good for sobriety when you're in that, when you're in those early stages at all. New relationships? No. Hell no.
I just need to be able to get over him. I don't.
You're
I don't
over him. Me and Mocha right now are taking you, and we're physically moving you as far away from that. You are over him. Uh-huh. We've just made you over him.
You need to focus on yourself, focus on the people around you who love you and care about you, and focus on this path that you've already been on without him, okay? Focus on all the positive things that you're doing for yourself, for your life, for your future. That's what you need to focus on, Victoria.
Yeah.
Why don't give 1 second of your thought to a guy that only kept you around because you were a hot junkie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need that in your life.
You're right. I know. I just needed to hear it from somebody else.
Yeah, girl.
Okay, Victoria.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, love.
We're always here for you. If you ever need anything, okay, just give us a shout.
Can I give a shout out to my kids and Barry?
Yeah.
I'd like to give a shout out to my kids, Carson, Allie, Addie, and Blair and Barry. I love you guys so much.
Oh, love you, Victoria. Thank you for reaching out.
Thank you. Bye.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on KISS. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Troy, what's up? It's Roz and Mocha. Why are you here?
How do I handle my sister taking my exercise?
Troy, you wrote us this. I dated a close friend of my sister's for a while, but she left me and started dating someone else just a month later. I was heartbroken, but my sister took her side and didn't seem to care about how I was feeling. I'm struggling to figure out how to fix things or move on.
How long were the two of you dating for?
I would want to say maybe a year or so, maybe a little later.
Yeah. And why'd you break up?
Just a lot of stuff. We weren't really perfect for each other. And yeah, just stuff happened. And
like what stuff? Yeah. Like fighting?
Fighting and trust issues and
trust issues towards you or towards her?
Her.
Okay. So, and when you say your sister took her side, what were the two sides?
So, like, pretty much just like she just didn't really show that she really cared about me. She just kind of just went like, oh, you're upset, you're this, just I don't really care, I'm just gonna enjoy my friend, and if you're upset, don't worry about it. It's all like, she just doesn't really show that she cares.
Okay, and what's your side?
My side is just I was hurting and I didn't know what to do, and I was just upset that she did that and showed me that she's like, I was really nothing.
Why'd you start dating your sister's friend?
I'm from Brampton, and I moved from Brampton to North Bay to be closer with family.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came up, she introduced me to her friend, and I know I shouldn't have,
mm-hmm.
but it was I was freshly single, and I saw something shiny, like a shiny new penny, and I just took it.
Mm.
And there was a whole bunch of red flags that I seen before.
Yeah,
and I didn't, and I completely ignored them. And yeah.
Okay.
So did your sister then like intentionally set you up, or did she introduce you to make a friend, and then you decided to? Mm-hmm. Turn that friend into your girlfriend, and your sister was like not cool with it at
no,
first.
No, I think it was like because it was her best friend. She wanted her brother and her best friend to date, and it'd be happily ever after, and all that, mm-hmm. and yeah.
So you take that's a risk, man. Dating your sister's friend it goes the other way too.
Yeah, like I've never done it before, and this is my first time doing it, and it was probably the worst mistake I ever did.
Yeah, but it's torn
a huge thing in a family too. Like,
bro,
we haven't really talked.
The mistake was your mistake. The mistake is not your sister's mistake.
Yeah,
it was if somebody made a mistake and you just said you made a mistake, it was your mistake. That's your mistake. Part of this and breakups and dynamics and drama is you got to own your mistakes. And the other people in the relationship have to own theirs too. Whether they do or not, who knows? It's none of your business. But you got to own your mistakes. And if you look at this as a mistake you made, it's not your sister's mistake.
Okay.
And you can't, whether your ex, she may be a terrible girlfriend, but she might be a great best friend.
Fair.
And if that's the case, you cannot expect your sister to bail on a great lifelong friend because it didn't work out between the two of you. That is the risk you take when you hook up with a sibling's friend.
True. Fair enough.
And for, you know, real, like just straight up, I wouldn't even talk to your sister about this anymore. Don't even bring it.
Don't even bring it up. Honestly, we haven't even talked about it. Like it's been just under the carpet and we just never brought it up. And there's tension in the house and like, it's not really good. Like I feel bad for my parents and stuff. Cause like they got to deal with it. And I know they can only take so much. And
but the tension's coming from you though. The tension's coming from you.
It is. It is.
Yeah. So that's on you as well. You can't say, oh my God, the house is full of tension when you're the one bringing it. People are walking on eggshells because of you.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Right? I feel that.
The only play that you have is to maybe say to your sister, like if she has a birthday party or something coming up, I don't know, to say, hey, listen, I'm still sort of busted up about this. I get that you guys are best friends and all, and I'm not going to interfere with that. She's a great friend to you, and you need a friend like that in your life. Didn't work out between us, but if she's coming to your birthday party, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to go. Okay, it's a little too heartbreaking for me right now. Not saying I'll never go or I won't be able to see her. That's really the only play you have is something like that. But you cannot put this on your sister, dude.
Yeah. She's expecting her first kid, and she's got a baby shower I think next week. And I was like, I don't know if I should go because she's gonna be there, and I didn't know what to do.
Go, it's your sister.
Go,
it's your sister. Yeah,
you don't have to engage. You don't got to talk. You know what I mean?
Just be cool. Yeah. Don't make everybody's day weird.
Yeah, like the good thing came from it. Like after we broke up, like I met a beautiful girl.
Yeah. And like, wait a second.
WTF, bro?
Wait a second.
Yo, why would we waste 5 minutes talking to your dumbass if you're already on a next relationship?
Nah, because I'm still kind of just cheesing with my sister, to be honest.
Bro.
My God, Troy.
Troy, grow up.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Yeah.
The ego
I think honestly, I just wanted to hear from you guys, and you know, instead of not from like anybody I know.
Troy, you're so dumb.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Stop. Dude, like this is so beyond... anything.
Why wasn't that information given before?
Like, this call would have been 2 seconds, dude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Troy.
Yeah.
Your life has been fixed. Grow up.
Grow up.
All right.
All right, later.
All right, guys.
All right, peace, homie. Later, man.
Good, man.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On Kiss 92.5.
Kiss925.com.
Or download the Kiss 92.5 app.